Well, as you know, we're in a series called Transforming Truths, and the subtitle there says 13 Life-Changing Passages Every Christian Should Know. And as I mentioned in previous lessons, these, of course, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, every word is important to us, amen. But within God's word, we find these little nuggets, these little golden truths that I think the way I said it was, they kind of stand on stilts. And if we would grab these truths and apply them to our lives, they will literally transform us. And just as way of review, one of those truths was Romans 12:1, that if we would present ourselves a living sacrifice, we talked about total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. And then we looked at Romans 12:2, because those two go hand in hand. We talked about the process of transformation. We talked about the renewing of our minds. Then the power to succeed, Philippians 4:13, another great verse. I mean, you know, many of these verses we have memorized. And again, we learned there that God would give us the strength to do whatever He's called us to do. It's not strength to do what we want to do. It's the strength to accomplish what He's asked us to accomplish, so we can do all things through Christ. Amen. And then we looked at Galatians 2:20, and we talked about our flesh's funeral, putting to death the flesh. And then we talked about 1 Corinthians 10:13 and temptation. And then last week, of course, Brother Cole taught the lesson, and it was the familiar verse, 1 John 1:9, if we confess. And we talked about keeping fellowship with God. Well, today that brings us now to our current lesson and another great verse, another familiar verse, if you have been saved any length of time, all things for your good. And of course, that's Romans 8:28 and 29. So find your place there if you haven't already, and we'll read this great passage and get our lesson started. Romans 8, and we'll look at verse 28 together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, let's pray together and we'll get our lesson started. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for a lovely morning that You've given us, a great day to celebrate our 15th anniversary. We look forward to that. Thank You for a good time last night as we kicked off the celebration. What a blessing it was. But now, Lord, we come to Your Word. One of the greatest blessings that we have as Christians is to have a copy of Your Word. And it's precious to us. And so we pray now You'll help us as we look to it, that You will be the supreme teacher, that as we yield ourselves to You this morning, You'll work through me as I teach, You'll work in Your people as they listen, and together we may understand the truth of Your Word. Well, thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, keep in mind as we go through the lesson that we're talking about transforming truths. And this is one of those truths that will literally help you and transform your life if you'll grab onto it. You know, oftentimes we quote this verse, and I'm not sure we really grasp the full what God's trying to get across to us. For instance, you know, just about all the world, and unfortunately Christians too, have a difficulty differentiating between happiness and joy. This verse will help us in understanding that, although we're not going to talk about joy today necessarily, but let me just open the lesson this way. If we as Christians want to function and try to grasp for happiness, of course the word happiness comes from happenings, if we base our happiness on happenings, then we'll be happy when good things happen and we'll be not so happy when bad things happen. Am I right? Because we're basing our happiness on the happenings. But what God's Word teaches us, that we're not to be seeking after happiness, but to be filled with the joy that God has for us. When we have the joy that God has for us, then it doesn't matter what the happenings are, if it's a good happening or if it's what we might count a not so good happening, we can still have joy through it all. And that's the difference. A few weeks ago, we looked at Philippians 4:13, and as we said, Paul was sitting in a prison writing that letter. And the theme of the book is joy. How could he have joy when the happenings were so bad? He had the joy of the Lord. And so when we grasp this text, this lesson, we understand that whether the happenings are good or whether they're bad, God is working all things together for our good, but more importantly than that, for His purpose and His will. And that we have to grasp that. You know, we ride this roller coaster of life. Oh, everything's great today. Oh, everything's bad today. Oh, everything's good today. Everything's bad today. Look, we need to level that out a little more, maybe a little more like this. We are going to have ups and downs, no doubt about it. And we're human, and we respond to things that come our way. And yes, we are going to have bad things at times. But when we understand that God has allowed this, and God's working all of it together for our good and for His purpose, then it helps us to, here's this word, cope. It helps us to deal with it better. We understand that God's doing a good thing. And so let's have that in our minds as we get into the lesson here. During our lowest valleys and our highest victories, this passage, this Romans 8:28, is the Mount Everest for every believer. When we're experiencing success in our lives, these verses remind us of how we got to the mountaintop. When we're going through the trials, through the valleys, then these verses teach us that all of our circumstances ultimately work together for good. And it's when we come to those points in our lives that there's great things we can learn. And let me get forward here to our first statement. There are many things that we could learn from these verses, but ultimately we learn that our good is God's purpose, and everything He allows in our lives is for His perfect purpose, which is to conform us to the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's all about. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different directions we could go, maybe in the verses here, a lot of things we could talk about, a lot of things that we could learn, but that's the ultimate truth. God is working things together for our good, but it's according to His purpose and His will. So let's get into our outline here this morning. We're going to start, first of all, with His people. As we consider this, Romans 8:28 and 29, we have to consider first God's people, His people. It is important for us to realize that this verse, listen now, is meant for God's children. I don't think I've been guilty of it. I don't think I have. But when your coworker, your fellow worker at work is, you know, going through a tough time and they're not saved, don't come up to them and say, "Well, listen, friend, all things work together for good," and you know, it's not for them. Sorry. You might try to encourage them and try to, cheer up. Cheer up, mate, or whatever. But you can't quote this verse. I mean, you can quote it, but it's not for them. It's for God's people. It's for God's children. It's for those of us that are born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's for His people. And how blessed and how privileged we are as God's people to be the recipients of such a wonderful promise, such as our Romans 8:28. So, that's our first point. This verse is not for the unsaved. We can't use it to comfort an unsaved person who's going through a trial, because the unsaved person cannot have the confidence that everything will work out ultimately for good. And what's a good example of that? Well, we consider this verse about a man named Judas. who betrayed our Lord. The Son of Man goeth, that is written of him, but woe unto that man, that's Judas, by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Wow. Listen, all things didn't work out for good for Judas. He went out and hung himself. And so that's a great example of that. And so this verse is not for the unsaved. You know, if we're going to consider the unsaved, what they need is a clear presentation of the gospel, rather than the false assurance that things will work out for them. And they can hope all they want that all things will work out, but that's not necessarily true, because they're not God's children. And God, this promise is for us. One of the most pointed passages in the Bible is at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Hold your place, and let's go to Matthew 7 together. In this lesson, I put less verses on the slides because I heard last night how much Mrs. Stein loves to turn in the Bible. And so we're going to turn today, do a lot of turning. Matthew 7, verse 21. The Bible says, this is Lord Jesus speaking, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Isn't that a sad commentary? These people saying, Lord, you know, we've done all these things. The Lord said, I don't know you. You're not my child. And so it's important, if you find yourself here this morning, I don't think it would be the case, but we never know, do we? If you've never been saved, that's the first thing you need, is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And once you've done that, then you have the privilege of claiming this wonderful promise that we're looking at this morning, Romans 8:28. What a blessing. Well, that leads us then to the obvious next thing. It's for the saved. This verse, as we've said, is for those of us that are saved. It's a promise to Christians. It's a promise to saved. Now, in this passage, we're more than three-fourths of the way in our Bible, physically speaking, and we're introduced to a word for the first time in Scripture. It's the word predestinate. Lots of arguments about what that means, but I think if we read the Bible in its context, we can clearly see that God is simply saying, well, first of all, he's not saying, I've predestinated some for hell and some for heaven. That's not what he's saying. Make sure I emphasize that. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is that I knew I had the foreknowledge to know who would trust me as their Savior, and based on that foreknowledge, I've predestinated those future believers, or those believers or future believers, to begin a process of conforming them to the image of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so that's really what that word is referring to. With that in mind, based upon God's sovereignty, or we could even use that Bible word, foreknowledge or predestinate, he predetermines every trial, every test, and every season you will go through for the very purpose of conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, that statement takes us back to what I was saying about happenings and happiness versus joy. When we begin to understand every trial... We don't like trials, but every trial, every test, every season you go through, It's for the very purpose of conforming us. It's part of that process. It's God's trying to conform us. You know, you've heard illustrations like clay on the potter's wheel and God, you know, we're the clay and God's putting the pressure. You have to put pressure to form it. So there's the pressure and we're the clay. And so we're saying, ow, ooh, oh, that hurts. Oh, God, you're squeezing me. Yeah, he has to do that to make the beautiful vessel that he's trying to make. And so trials come, tests will come, seasons of life, the ups and downs of life. It's all working together. God's trying to conform us to his dear son. Think about it this way. How many like fresh, baked, warm chocolate chip cookies? Uh-oh, I got a groan in the back from Don. Look out. Amen. Well, you know, chocolate chip cookies, in order to make those, you've got to put lots of ingredients, right? You have to have the chocolate chips, the flour, the sugar. I like walnuts in mine. I think there's even salt, eggs. Do you know if I went into the kitchen and just took a spoon and got a big spoonful of flour? That's not going to taste so nice. If I filled up a spoonful of salt, boy, that's a bit rough. If I got a raw egg, now some people eat raw eggs or drink them or whatever. You know, these athletes do that, I guess, but I'm not about to have a raw egg. It just doesn't appeal to me whatsoever. But when you put those ingredients together in a mixing bowl and work it all out and make cookies, man, it comes out pretty good. When you think of our lives like that, God uses different ingredients, some of which might not taste very good. But God puts them all together, and he's stirring in our lives to work out his plan and his purpose for good, like a good cookie, amen? So that might be a little bit of a corny illustration, but I think it kind of points us in the right direction of what God's doing in our lives. Let's go to number two here. So it's about his people. This promise is for his people, not the unsaved. Secondly, let's talk about the promise a little bit. If we are saved, we can claim the promise of this verse, and it is a promise. Like other promises in Scripture, we can have the confidence that the Lord will fulfill it in our lives. Now, again, hold your place. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. I'll show you another verse of Scripture here. Just right after 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then Titus. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 2. It's a great phrase here. It says, in hope of eternal life, here it comes, which God, what's that say next? Those next three words. That cannot lie. God cannot lie. He's made promises to us, and he cannot lie. What am I saying? I'm saying he cannot break his promises. So, letter A, we have the certainty. That's a great word. The certainty of its outcome. Certainty. You know, you and I, we've had people that have made promises to us and unfortunately have broken promises. Sometimes they may have broken it on purpose. Other times they may have had really good intentions. My wife and I have a few of those people in our lives. They always, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we've learned to understand they have great intentions. But it's not going to happen. we've got the track record, so we know it's not going to happen. But with the Lord, we've got this certainty. I like that word, certainty, that it will happen. God will never forget his promises. Yeah, sometimes people make promises and they forget to follow up on it. But God doesn't forget his promises. He cannot lie about a promise. I like that. And he never breaks his promise. He never breaks his promise. Let's look at together. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. So hold your place in Romans. Let's go to 1 Kings for another good verse. And it's verse 56. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. The Bible says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he what? Promised, that there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." The Bible's telling us that God fulfills his promises. Not one word fails. He fulfills everything he has said to us. Everything he promises us, he will fulfill. He will come through. Letter B. So we have the certainty. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. God promises, and you can bank on that. Letter B, sometimes there's a change in its curriculum. What do I mean by that? Just how God, curriculum, it's how God works, the different methods that God uses as he works in our lives. As God takes us through the refining and the purification process, and that's what the whole sanctification process is, that God's working in our lives, and both the good and the bad, as we look at it from the human perspective, that, and yes, all things work together for good. All that sanctification, all that purification, all that working that God's doing, he may vary the types of trials. He may vary, he may do it in different ways. It could be financial, could be marital, it could be other relationships, it could be physical, could be an illness, could be emotional. Different ways that God might use in our lives, so he varies the types of trials, and so therefore we say he could change the curriculum, you might say. You know, we think about another great example in Scripture is the man Job, and how God allowed these things to come into his life. And Job did a pretty good job of realizing, you know what, I'm God's child, and he's working all things together for good. He didn't have that verse, but he understood the idea of it, obviously, because he came forth as gold, as we read in Job. So the curriculum may change. It may be different types of circumstances that God will use. And then thirdly, we have conformity as its goal. And we've said a lot about that already. God's trying to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. I would really worry about someone if they were to say, "Well, I don't want to be like Jesus." Say that again. What did you just say? Listen, friend, that's why we're here. If you don't want to be like Jesus and you don't want to follow God, he might just take you home. Sorry to be so blunt. We're here for a purpose. If you're breathing, your heart's beating, God has a purpose for us. If that weren't the case, then every time we get saved, he just, boom, take us to heaven immediately. But he saves us, and then he wants us to serve, and he wants us to be in this process of sanctification. He wants us, and sanctification's all about being more like Jesus each day, being conformed to the image of Christ. And so that's the goal. That's our goal as believers, is to be more like Jesus every single day. And so, let me get the thing here. So God's goal is never merely to change what we do. He's not trying to keep us busy, you know, keep us occupied. But he wants to conform us to the image of his dear Son. That's pretty amazing when you really think about it. All right, let's get on to number three here. So his people, this promise is for God's people. We can bank on the fact that he's given us a promise. He's going to fulfill it, every word of it. He won't fail. He won't forget. He won't lie. He won't break the promise. He'll fulfill it. And then thirdly, his purpose, which we've said a lot about already. But whatever God allows you to go through, you can rest assured that he has a purpose for it. You know, every time Every time the water heater goes out, every time your car gets a flat, every time you have an overdraft, every time whatever, you know, every time there's a sickness, every time whatever, there's got to be a purpose for it. And God has purposes for us in our lives. Although you may not understand always, you can have the faith that His ways are far greater than what our finite human minds can imagine. Now that takes us to Isaiah, a very familiar passage, Isaiah 55. So let's turn there. Isaiah 55. You're probably already realizing, oh yeah, that's that verse about my thoughts and His thoughts, and you're absolutely right. Isaiah 55, verse 8. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so it's pretty amazing that what God is working is far greater than we can imagine. And we have to have the faith. We're going to talk about faith a little bit in this last point. We have to have the faith to believe that God is working all things for my good, according to His purpose, according to His will. And I like this first thing we're going to look at here, our filter. Our filter. This is a great way of looking at it. When we are totally committed to God's purpose for our lives, then all of our plans, all of our dreams, all of our aspirations, listen, go through the filter of His purpose and His will. Now that in itself will transform your life, that statement. Because no matter what comes my way, I just read it here, all of our plans, all of our dreams, all of our aspirations, they have to go through the filter of His purpose. And then it will affect every decision that we make. Let's put this next phrase up here. When we are making our decisions through the filter of God's purpose, we will be committed to doing His perfect will. This also affects how we view unforeseen circumstances. Now, we've already talked about this. You know, I'll use the word happenings again. If you know, the good happenings versus the bad happenings. Of course, we're not to look at it as happiness, but we're supposed to be going after God's joy. But when unforeseen, this is a good way to the phrase unforeseen circumstances. That's a good description. When the unforeseen circumstances come into our lives, if we put that through the filter of God's purpose and His will, then we have a whole different perspective of it. Suddenly it's not such an evil, bad thing like we think it is. Because we view it through the filter, hey, this was allowed by God. This thing that's annoying me, this thing that's a thorn in my flesh, this thing that's bugging me, this thing that I look at as a bad, negative issue, wait a minute, filter it through God's purpose. He allowed this to come. And so therefore, He's doing something, and therefore, He's going to work it all for good according to His will and His purpose. And when we do that, boy, it can bring a calm to us. Amen? And we need to be calm. We need not to be reactionary. We need to have a calm that God is in control, and He's doing all things for our good. That will help us. So that's the filter. Next, then, is our focus. Our focus. And again, I'm going to talk about this conforming to Christ. But when we're living in a Romans 8, 28 and 29 mindset, then we understand, our focus becomes, I'm being conformed to His image. It's no longer, oh, what's this thing that came into my life, and what's that thing that's bugging me, and what's this, and why'd that happen, and oh, I can't believe all these things. That's what Job could have said. All these things that are happening. Wait a minute, time out. God's working in my life. He's allowing these things to happen. He's mixing that batch of cookies, so to speak. He's allowing it. And He's working in my life. He's working. He's trying to conform me to the image of Christ. And so therefore, my focus becomes being conformed. Being transformed. Being sanctified. Amen? So it's our focus changes when we understand what this verse is teaching us. Life, here's a great statement. Life is not about what we achieve. And that's the whole world right there. What can you achieve? Well, I believe we should achieve some things, but it's rather, what are we becoming? We should be becoming little images of Jesus Christ. And when we're conformed to His image, we almost can flip that around. When we become conformed to His image, then we can achieve something for the glory of God. But we need to be like Jesus and to do that. And often we're so task-oriented that it's easily to become distracted from our main focus, which our main focus is what? To be conformed to the image of Christ. And so we need to remember to focus on that, which leads us to our last point. I said we would talk a little bit about faith, and here it is. So our faith. So we run these things through the filter of God's purpose. We realize what He's doing, then we then have a focus of being conformed to Jesus. And then we have faith. His purpose becomes our faith. When we are putting our trust in God's purpose for our lives, we have no reason to be discouraged. We have no reason to be downhearted. Listen, if you're a weary Christian this morning, then take note of this. If you're a hurting Christian this morning, listen carefully. Faith is a crucial part of the Christian life. And He builds our faith through the circumstances He allows to come into our lives. And again, it's all for the purpose of conforming us to the image of Jesus. So obviously, it really goes without saying, but faith, because all of Christianity is about faith, it's faith is a crucial part of the Christian life. Let's turn together to Hebrews 11, another familiar passage. Hebrews chapter 11. And I think we'll see one more verse after this and we'll be finished. Hebrews 11, the very familiar verse 6, as we're talking about faith, this word faith, look what it says here. This is a great verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Who? The Lord, God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, we have to have faith to please Him. That verse clearly says, without faith, we cannot please Him. And so when you battle discouragement, if you battle heartaches, you battle depression, those things that we count as negative come into our lives, we must turn to Romans 8:28 and realize that in everything God allows us to go through, His ultimate purpose is to conform us to the image of His dear Son. Let's look at one last passage together, Jeremiah 29, another great verse. Jeremiah 29, please. Jeremiah 29 and the famous verse 11. Look what God says to you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. What kind of thoughts? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You see, those things we view as bad, God says, I'm not evil. I'm not allowing these what you think to be evil things to happen to you. I have thoughts of peace. I have good thoughts towards you. I'm trying to make you into the image of my son. Let's let him do it, amen? Let's let him do it. Well, let me give you the conclusion here. We're right on time. Rest assured that God is allowing your trials for his ultimate purpose. And I know sometimes that's hard to wrap our brain around. How could a good God allow this? Well, how could you put salt in chocolate chip cookies? That just doesn't make sense to me. They're supposed to be sweet, not salty. But it's in there. And just understand, hey, God, we serve a good God. He's good all the time. His purpose, we've said this multiple times now, but his purpose, hopefully you'll get it. His purpose is to conform you to the image of his son. That's why we're here. That's our journey. That's our mission. We're here to serve and to win souls and to do the work of God. And all along the way, we're to be becoming more like Jesus as we go. And all God's people said, amen. All right, thank you for your